This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome my dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Hayyakumullah. Ya Abdallah, Ya Amatallah, another beautiful Wednesday evening, walhamdulillah. And bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we continue with our majalis. Majalis of what? Majalis of ilm, majalis of knowledge, majalis of dhikr, majalis of mentioning our Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name. Majalis of mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Abdallah, Ya Amatallah, this is none other than a majlis of dhikr, walhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, walhamdulillah, in our previous majlis, we began with the 40 ahadith of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. Ya Abdallah, Ya Amatallah, this abid, this scholar, this Shaykhul Islam, this muhaddith faqih, this abid zahid, we discussed his biography in great detail, walhamdulillah. We discussed his name, we discussed the area that he was born in, the area of Nawa. Usually people make and are famous due to the place where they came from. But Imam An-Nawawi, he made the place famous, subhanallah. We discussed his youth, we discussed his studies in the early days, walhamdulillah. We went through some of the books that he had authored, walhamdulillah. And in reality, subhanallah, he was a man of barakah. He left behind encyclopedias, walhamdulillah. We discussed his school of jurisprudence. We discussed matters of theology related to Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, the era that he lived in, the issues between him and the ruler of the time, his death, subhanallah. And we learned that he only lived a life of plus minus 44, at most some said 46 years. But he has left behind such a legacy. That was the most important point in our last majlis, the legacy left behind by Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. What legacy will you leave behind, O Sulaiman Ahmed Ilyas? What legacy will you leave behind, Sumayya Fatima and Aisha? What legacy, subhanallah? Are we going to live just like how the cow lives, eat, produce, go to the toilet, whatever, and then end off? Khalas, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Yes, we know that. But subhanallah, what legacy will we leave behind? Many of us, we've not remembered our grandparents, maybe in the last week. Our great-grandparents, when last did we ever think about them, subhanallah? Within a generation or two, you are forgotten. So Ya Abdallah, Ya Amatallah, don't count upon people remembering you after your death. Rather, you leave behind a legacy which forces them to remember you. And that's exactly what Imam An-Nawawi had done. His book Riyad al-Salihin, almost every masjid out there in the globe has a copy of that book. Almost every student of knowledge goes through the 40 ahadith of Imam An-Nawawi, subhanallah. Ya Abdallah, Ya Amatallah, we discussed his biography in great detail and the audios have been uploaded to the net. Walhamdulillah, those of you who missed out, then you can revert to those audios bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. As for today, then inshallah we continue our second majlis with regards to the 40 ahadith. And we now begin with the actual text. We begin with the text and the introduction of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. Brothers and sisters, this is a book that you should have in your home. The Islamic libraries have many copies available. So purchase it. One click on Google and you will find a copy. Download it, print it out. And we've already mentioned, whoever memorizes these ahadith, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, will have a small competition. And there's a 500 rand prize for the one who memorizes it, comes first in that competition, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. You can have a head start. Start memorizing. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ إِلَىٰ آخِرِهِ until the end of that hadith. Ya Abdallah, Ya Amatallah, the muqaddima, the introduction of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. He begins, all praises due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the worlds, the one who sustains the heavens and the earth, director of all that is created, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created all of this. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, he continues, I praise him for all of his bounties. I ask him to increase his grace and generosity upon us. I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And he has no partner. The one alone, the Ahad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who sustains, the one who is generous, the one who is forgiving. And I bear witness that our leader, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, is his servant and messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. His beloved and dear one, the best of all creation, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was honored with the glorious Quran, that is the enduring miracle throughout all the years and generations. He was also sent with this guiding sunnah that shows us the way for those who seek guidance. The Quran and the sunnah of our Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Our leader Muhammad has been singled out with the characteristic of eloquent speech. Simplicity in words. Few words, but they are vast in meaning. Jawami'ul kalim. A few words, subhanallah, but you can write volumes with regards to its meaning. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. That was our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What would he say? دع ما يريبك إلى ما لا يريبك. Leave the doubtful for that which you are not doubtful about. إنما الأعمال بالنيات. Few words, but volumes can be written, subhanallah. And that was the quality of this Rasul. Few words, vast in meaning. Unfortunately, you have many who speak a lot. But subhanallah, as he said, he spoke for an hour, but he said very few words. Meaning that there was very little meaning to what he said. He went on and on and on. We could have summarized it in 3 or 5 sentences. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Few words, vast in meaning. Imam An-Nawawi continues. And if you have the copy, brothers and sisters, follow us in your copy. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon him and the other prophets and messengers and upon all of their families and the rest of the righteous. Amma ba'd, as for what follows. That was the introduction. That was the introduction. Then he continues now with regards to the madmoon, with regards to the content of this book. Amma ba'd, we have narrated through many chains and various narrations from Ali ibn Abi Talib, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Abu Malik, Abu Darda ibn Umar radiyallahu an, ibn Abbas, Anas ibn Malik, Abu Huraira, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, may Allah be pleased with all of them. He narrates and he mentions one after the other these companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There's this hadith which has been narrated from them. What's the hadith? And then he mentions, may Allah be pleased with all of them, that supposedly the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever preserves for my nation, my ummah, 40 ahadith related to its religion, Allah will then resurrect him in the company of the servants and the scholars. Whoever looks after, narrates 40 ahadith about the deen, Allah will resurrect him in the company of the scholars and in the company of the ubbad. That's number one. Number two, another narration states, Allah will raise him as a learned scholar of al-Islam. Third narration, from Abu Darda, it is stated, on the day of resurrection, I will be an intercessor and witness for this person. That's three down. Number four, and in a narration from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, it is stated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it will be said to him, enter paradise through any door that you wish. For who? For the one who records 40 ahadith, narrates 40 ahadith, memorizes 40 ahadith. Enter paradise from any door you wish. That was number four. Number five, in the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar, one finds the words, he will be recorded among the company of the scholars and will be resurrected in the company of the martyrs. Five narrations. Then Imam An-Nawawi states, the scholars of hadith agree, they are in agreement, ittifaq, that although this hadith has numerous chains, it is weak. By consensus of the scholars, this hadith is weak. This hadith, those various narrations, they are all weak. So why does Imam an-Nawawi mention this? It's all weak, and he acknowledges that they are all weak. Imam an-Nawawi rahimahullah then continues and he states, the scholars, may Allah be pleased with them, have compiled innumerable works of this nature. Nature what nature? Nature of collections of 40 ahadith. The scholars, may Allah be pleased with them, have compiled innumerable works of this nature. The first one that I know of, compiled by the scholar Abdullah ibn Mubarak. After him came Aslam al-Tusi, the pious scholar. Then came Al-Hasan ibn Sufyan al-Nasa'i. Then Abu Bakr al-Ajuri. Then Abu Bakr Muhammad ibn Ibrahim al-Asfahani. Then al-Darqutni, al-Hakim, Abu Nu'im, Abu Abdul Rahman al-Sulami, Abu Sa'id al-Malini, Abu Uthman al-Sabuni, Abdullah ibn Muhammad al-Ansari, Abu Bakr al-Bayhaqi, and countless others, both from the earlier and the latter times. Brothers and sisters, Imam an-Nawawi mentions five narrations about collecting, narrating 40 ahadith. He mentions that all of those narrations are weak. In reality, subhanAllah, you have scholars who said, no, it's not even on the level of weak, it's worse than that. Not even very weak, but rather many of them are fabricated. You have, for example, Fawzi ibn Abdullah ibn Muhammad. He states in Adwa al-Samawiyya fi takhrij ahadith al-arba'in al-Nawawiyya. After a 16-page discussion on this hadith here, he states that it is mawdu, fabricated. Why? Because all of the chains of narrations, they have liars in them. Or suspected liars, or rejected narrations. Brothers and sisters, our discussion tonight is going to be, bi-iznillahi ta'ala, rather academic. This is, subhanAllah, the ilm of the ulama. And then he goes on and he states, one of the narrators, Ishaq ibn Najih, he is a liar, as mentioned in Taqrib by Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. Another, Ibn Jurayj, his name, Abdul Malik ibn Abdul Aziz al-Makki, and he is a mudallis. Mudallis is somebody who says, I heard, and he does not mention from who he heard. And this mudallis, he would usually do this when he would narrate from rejected narrators. So he's not mentioning, I'm narrating from this liar. He's keeping that quiet, putting it under the carpet, subhanAllah, as mentioned by Imam al-Nasa'i. So many of the ulama state, these ahadith dealing with collection and narration of 40 ahadith, many of them said that in reality, these ahadith are not necessarily weak, but rather some of them or most of them are fabricated, subhanAllah. Nonetheless, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, you have had ulama who have collected these ahadith dealing with collecting 40 ahadith. We're not talking about the scholars collecting 40. No, we're talking about them collecting the hadith which deals with the collection of 40. You had, for example, Ibn Munzir, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, Imam al-Suyuti, al-Ghumari, Ali al-Halabi, Mu'asir, Salih al-Usaymi. All of them have put together books where they've collected these ahadith which deal with the collection of 40 ahadith. Jayid. Imam al-Nawawi stated that they're weak. Others said, no, they're worse than that. They're on the level of fabrication. Nonetheless, you have had ulama, subhanAllah, who have collected 40 ahadith on jihad, 40 ahadith on khutbas, 40 ahadith on nikah, 40 ahadith with regards to the Muslim personality and character, 40 ahadith with regards to the Ahlul Bayt of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, various collections of 40 ahadith, 40 ahadith on wudu, 40 ahadith on the virtue of salah, subhanallah. Across the board, various madahib, across the globe, across the various madahib, they've collected these collections. And Imam an-Nawawi mentions many of them, Ibn Mubarak, Aslam al-Tusi, Abu Bakr al-Ajuri, Abu Bakr Muhammad ibn Ibrahim al-Asfahani, Darqutni al-Hakim. He lists about 10 of those scholars who, although they acknowledge that the ahadith, about 40 ahadith, are weak, but nonetheless, we will like and we enjoy and we feel it's a good thing. You know, let's collect 40 ahadith with regards to any topic. Walhamdulillah. Then Imam An-Nawawi continues and he states, I have turned to Allah for guidance and prayed to Him while compiling these 40 ahadith, following the example of those imams and guardians of Islam. So he is not necessarily following those ahadith which talk about 40 ahadith because he knows they're weak, but rather he's following the ulama before him who have compiled books of 40 ahadith. And then he states, the scholars have agreed, super important, the scholars, the ulama have agreed that it is permissible to act in accordance with weak ahadith that state the virtuousness of deeds. Meaning, he states that the ulama are in agreement that you can narrate weak ahadith when it deals with fada'ilul a'mal, when it deals with good actions, when it deals with recommended actions. Nonetheless, given that fact, he states it's a fact, I have not relied upon that hadith only in compiling this work. Indeed, instead, I am following the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the authentic hadith, let him who was present amongst you inform those who were absent. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, may Allah make radiant the man, his face, who has heard what I've said, preserved it in his memory, and conveyed it in a way that he heard it, conveyed it to others. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. The discussion now on the usage of weak ahadith. Are we allowed to narrate weak ahadith? Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, he states that the ulama are in agreement that you are allowed to narrate, relate weak ahadith if they are dealing with fada'ilul a'mal, if they are dealing with good actions. So what is the situation? What is the mas'ala? What is the ruling with regards to the usage of weak ahadith? Number one, what does weak hadith mean? The hadith is da'if. Da'if, what does da'if mean? It means that the conditions required for an accepted hadith do not apply upon it. The conditions which apply upon the sahih hadith and the hasan hadith, they are not to be found in this hadith. So this hadith here is one level below. It's on the level of weak. It's on the level of weak. And there are maratib of da'if. There are different levels with regards to weakness. Some ahadith are weak. Others are very weak. Others fall in the category of fabricated. Are we allowed to narrate weak ahadith? You found that some ulama were of the opinion that if you narrate it, you must make mention that this hadith is weak. When you narrate it, you cannot say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. You cannot say qala an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but rather you have to use a statement like it has been reported, it has been related, it has been said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said such and such. So you are not using statements which indicate that this is authentic. Rather, you are using statements which indicate some ambiguity, maybe true, maybe false. That's the first opinion, that you are allowed to narrate it, but you must make mention of the weakness found within it. Jayid. And the other opinion, أَجَازَهُ بَعْضُ الْعُلَمَاءِ مِنْ غَيْرِ بَيَانِ ضَعْفِهِ. Other scholars, they said, no, you can narrate these weak ahadith. Narrate. We're not talking about acting upon. We're not talking about practicing upon. We are only discussing right now narrating. The second group of scholars said, you are allowed to narrate weak ahadith, but with the condition that it must be in fada'ilul a'mal, it must be with regards to stories, it must not be with regards to ahkam, it must not be with regards to fiqh and those matters, and it must not be fabricated. It cannot be that weak, it cannot be in the level of fabrication, because that's a lie upon the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This opinion that you are allowed to narrate it without mentioning that it is weak, but it should only be in fada'il, it can only be with regards to stories, etc., and it must not be fabricated. This has been narrated as the opinion of Imam Ahmed rahimahullah, Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi, Sufyan al-Thawri, Sufyan ibn Uyayna, ibn Ma'in, and Abdullah ibn Mubarak. And this is with regards to narrating weak ahadith. What about practicing upon weak ahadith? Making amal upon weak ahadith? Are we allowed to practice upon weak ahadith? Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, the first opinion amongst the ulama. And remember, لِكُلِّ فَنِّ رِجَالٍ, for every type of scholarship, for every type of science, there are its men. You do not take a plumber and ask him about heart surgery. You do not take the engineer and ask him with regards to how you teach kids. For every speciality, you have the specialists. So with regards to a hadith, who are the specialists? The doctors of hadith, the engineers of a hadith, the muhaddithin. The first opinion with regards to are we allowed to make amal on weak ahadith? The first opinion, you are not allowed to make amal upon weak ahadith at all, at all. You do not need any weak ahadith. Weak ahadith? No, no, no. Out. Whose opinion is this? This opinion has been narrated as the opinion of the great Maliki scholar Ibn al-Arabi, as mentioned in Fathul Mughith. Yahya ibn Ma'in, ibn Hazm, the great Zahiri scholar, narrated that this is the opinion of Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, Abu Hatim al-Razi, Abu Shama al-Maqdisi, ibn al-Arabi, as we mentioned, although there's some debate with regards to two narrations from him. Imam al-Shawkani, rahimahullah, Sheikh al-Albani, Sheikh Ahmed Shakir, Siddiq Hassan Khan, Muhammad Adib al-Salih, these scholars, great scholars of the opinion, you cannot make amal upon weak ahadith. You cannot practice upon weak ahadith. What's their proof? They said that as for some of the scholars allowing it in fada'il, in good actions, they said good actions are part and parcel of the sharia. Fiqh is part and parcel of the sharia. Ahkam, part and parcel of sharia. And fada'il, also part and parcel of the sharia. And so they're all on the same level. If you're not using it in one category, you cannot use it in the other categories. Number two, Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, rahimahullah. We find that when he talked about Imam Muslim and the introduction of Imam Muslim, Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, in his explanation of Tirmidhi, he mentions that it seems that the apparent opinion of Imam Muslim is also that one should not narrate weak ahadith and use weak ahadith even in targhib and tarheeb, even in fada'ilul a'mal, except what you narrate for ahkam. So fada'il, the same rules apply to it as the rules which apply to ahkam and fiqh. They also, for example, you find that Sheikh Ahmed Shakir, he also mentions in his commentary of Ba'ith al-Hathith that there is no difference between fiqh and good deeds. The rules required, the ahadith required for fiqh, are the same type of ahadith which are required for good actions. They are all part of sharia and the same rules should apply. They also mention that the sahih ahadith and the Hassan ahadith, the acceptable ahadith, authentic ahadith, are more than enough for us. We don't need to look into the weak category. What we have of authentic suffices. They also mention that weak ahadith do not give rise to certainty. And Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, "Inna al-zan la yughni min al-haqqi shay'a." That zan, speculation, doubt, it doesn't stand anything in front of the truth. And so there's no need to go to zan al-marjuh. No need to go to speculation. We don't need to follow speculation in deen. We have the authentic ahadith and we have the acceptable ahadith that suffices us. They also mention that when you narrate too many weak ahadith, then people become lax. People become lax with regards to narration of ahadith. And narrating ahadith is not a light matter. Maybe you are lying upon the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Maybe what you are saying is a lie against him, subhanallah. And lying against him is not like lying against anybody else. You are putting words in his mouth, subhanallah. If you lie against Ahmed, you say that Ahmed said such and such. Ahmed says, wallahi, I've never said that. It's a crime. Imagine if you are putting words in the mouth of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They also state that many of those who said you do not use it in ahkam, they eventually have used it in ahkam. So the conditions laid down by those scholars who allowed the usage of weak ahadith, many of them have not lived up to those conditions. They also state that many of the conditions are very difficult. For example, some of them state that you are allowed to narrate weak ahadith, but not very weak ahadith. He says, subhanallah, it takes a really high-powered scholar, muhaddith, to differentiate between a hadith which is weak and a hadith which is very weak. How can the ordinary layman know what's weak and what's very weak?
He doesn't know all of this here, and so rather he stays away from narrating any of this. They also mention another proof that rather we close the door to fitna, and it's the safer option. كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَن يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. It's enough for a person to be regarded as a liar if he narrates everything that he hears, as our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. They give the example that if somebody said to you, brother, you see this bridge here? You want to go over with your car? Well, we're not really sure whether the bridge is going to take the weight of your car, but you can take a try. Will any one of us, uqala, will any of us intelligent drive over that bridge? No, subhanAllah. No, brother, jazakallah khair. I want to be on the safe side. I don't want to take the chance. They said the same with regards to narration of weak ahadith. They also mention that if, for example, we allow the narration and the amal and practice upon weak ahadith, then people won't really bother with regards to researching. People wouldn't really bother with regards to whether this hadith is authentic or not. And in fact, the entire science of ahadith, etc., you know, almost goes down the drain. Because then what was the efforts? What was all of this here for? The efforts of the scholars to sift out between the authentic and the not authentic, the inauthentic. They also mention that ahkam and fada'il follow the same rules. So ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, this was opinion number one. Opinion number one of those scholars who say you are not allowed to practice upon weak ahadith, and great scholars, subhanAllah, Yahya ibn Ma'in, Ibn al-Arabi, Abu Hatim al-Razi, Abu Shama, etc. Great, great scholars. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah. The second opinion, that you are allowed to practice upon weak ahadith. Completely allowed. In the halal, in the haram, matters with regards to wajib, in fiqh, in all matters, fada, everything, it's all go. It's completely green and you can practice upon weak ahadith. SubhanAllah. Side note, you find that sometimes an individual mentions, the scholars are unanimous that you are allowed to narrate weak ahadith in fada'il. That's not really true. You have others who have said, the scholars are unanimous that you are not allowed to narrate weak ahadith in ahkam. That also is not really true. In reality, the scholars are split in three opinions. First one, not allowed to narrate and practice upon weak ahadith at all. Second opinion, completely allowed in all avenues. Fada'il, ahkam, in fiqh, in seerah, in history, everything's allowed. It's all green. Who's of this opinion, subhanAllah? This opinion has been narrated as the opinion of Imam Ahmed rahimahullah. Abu Dawood, the great scholar, the muhaddith. It's also narrated as the opinion of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah and Imam Malik. And we find, for example, Kamaluddin ibn Humam, the great Hanafi scholar, Ahmed ibn Siddiq al-Ghumari, and others. But they had certain conditions. They said that we will allow the narration of weak ahadith across the board, even in ahkam, with conditions. Number one, that there must not be in the same chapter, in the same bab, any other hadith which could suffice us. And there must not be any fatwa from the sahaba which could help us out. If there's nothing like this, then we'll use this weak hadith. What these scholars are trying to do is, they're trying to say that the weak hadith is better than my own opinion. I rather put forward the weak hadith than putting forward my opinion. I prefer putting forward a weak hadith from the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam than putting forward my personal opinion, subhanAllah. He says, we'll do this when there's no other hadith about the matter, when there's no statement from the Sahaba. They said it must not be very weak. And number three, there must not be anything which would contradict it. And the proofs, well, weak hadith is better than opinion. And we find that istiqra of the a'imma. We find that across the board in ahkam, the Hanafis, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, etc., they have used weak ahadith even in ahkam, subhanAllah. So, ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, that was the second opinion. And as was said, that for example, many of them allow the usage of Mursal Hadith, which is a category according to majority category of weak. Third opinion, and we know no doubt, ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, tonight's discussion, probably from the entire explanation of the 40 Ahadith of Imam al-Nawawi, it's probably tonight which is the most academic. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, this is that ilm. This is that ilm of Imam Ahmed and Yahya ibn Ma'in and all of those scholars. Sometimes we listen 10-15 minutes, khalas, jazakallah khair, more than enough. This is too much for my brain. No, ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. Why do you think that the ulama have such a high manzila? Because it was easier as ABC? Absolutely not, subhanallah. So first opinion, with regards to practicing upon weak ahadith, completely not allowed. Second opinion, completely allowed in all aspects, in ahkam, in fada'il, in everything. The third opinion, and this is the opinion that Imam An-Nawawi mentioned in his introduction to the 40 ahadith. And this opinion is that you are allowed to use weak ahadith when it comes to good deeds, when it comes to fada'il, when it comes to good actions. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we will discuss this opinion once we take a short break. Hayyakumullah. Salaamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم We continue بإذن الله تعالى Your brother in Islam Bilal Ismail of the Al-Kawthar Institute and Imam Development Project حياكم الله يا عبد الله يا أمة الله Our current discussion The 40 ahadith of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. This great alim, this zahid, this faqih, this usuli, this muhaddith rahimahullah. Put together these 40 ahadith and we will discuss the reason why. Why did he put these ahadith together? Why did he select these specific ahadith? He mentions all of this in the introduction of the book, which we will cover tonight bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Our next majlis, we will begin with the first hadith, insha'Allah. Brothers and sisters, our previous majlis, we discussed his biography because he has a haqq upon us. He has a right upon us, subhanallah. Our current discussion, Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah mentions five narrations which talk about the virtue of narrating, relating, memorizing, passing on 40 ahadith. And we saw that Imam An-Nawawi acknowledges that all those ahadith are weak. Some of the ulama said, no, it's not even weak. It's on the category of fabrication, subhanallah. We moved on from there. Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah states, I've not necessarily put together this book because of these five narrations, no, but rather because many ulama before me, they've collected 40 ahadith on this topic, on that topic, on this topic, on that topic. So I also wanted to do the same. That's why I've done this. And then nonetheless, the ulama are unanimous. Imam An-Nawawi says unanimous. Does that really stand the test of time? We will discuss. He says the ulama are unanimous that you are allowed to narrate weak ahadith and act upon weak ahadith if it's to do with good deeds. But we've seen, subhanallah, that the first opinion in this mas'ala is that it's not allowed at all. And there's great scholars who said not allowed. Second opinion, completely allowed. Forget only fada'il in all matters, in ahkam, in fiqh, in history, in all those matters, aqidah, you are allowed to narrate weak ahadith. So that was the first and second opinion. Third opinion, and this is the opinion of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, that you are allowed to make amal upon weak ahadith when it comes to history, when it comes to good actions, when it comes to staying away from certain matters, when it comes to those matters which are not related to belief, when it comes to those matters which are not related to jurisprudence, not related to aqidah and ahkam. Who's of this opinion? Majority of the ulama. We won't say all the ulama as Imam An-Nawawi said, no, but rather it's majority of the ulama. Imam An-Nawawi said consensus, not really true. And he also, besides Imam An-Nawawi, Mullah Ali Qari, he also in Mawdu'at Al-Kubra mentions consensus of the scholars. But subhanallah, you find, for example, there is definitely khilaf, there's definitely difference of opinion on this matter. Imam As-Suyuti mentions the difference of opinion. Imam As-Sakhawi mentioned the difference of opinion. And so that unanimity that Imam An-Nawawi claimed doesn't really stand the test of time. This opinion is also the opinion which has been narrated upon Imam Ahmed rahimahullah, Ibn Mubarak, Ibn Ma'in, and Imam An-Nawawi stated clearly that this is, you know, the opinion Hafiz al-Iraqi, Ibn As-Salah, And they, three of them, had put two conditions. It must be in Fada'il and it must not be fabricated. Imam al-Sakhawi, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, Imam al-Suyuti, Ali al-Qari, Imam al-Baghdadi, Ibn Kathir, the great scholar of the student of Ibn Taymiyyah, Imam al-Laknawi, Nuruddin Itr from amongst the contemporaries, Ibn Qudama, the Hanbali scholar, all of them of the opinion you are allowed to practice upon weak ahadith in good deeds, in fada'il, in nice actions. Do this, you'll get that reward. You do this here, you're going to get this reward. You'll get that in Jannah, etc. What's their proof? They said, well, if the hadith is true, alhamdulillah, you did it. And if the hadith is not true, there's no harm in the matter. Number two, they said that this is the opinion of majority, and so we should go with majority. The others said that there is consensus on this matter, subhanAllah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, they also laid down certain conditions. They said, well, we don't open up the door completely. We put down certain conditions. And Ibn Hajar mentions four conditions in Tabyin al-Ajab. That it must not be very weak. It must just be weak, not very weak. And it must not be a narration of a liar, somebody who's, people feel that he's a liar. Many of the scholars speculate that this guy is a liar, or somebody who makes major, major errors. So they said that it must not be very weak. They said that this hadith, which is weak, should fall under the umbrella of some other ahadith. Example. We know in the Quran and in the Sunnah many ahadith which talk about the Hajjud Salah, which talk about Qiyamul Layl, Salatul Layl, praying at night. If, for example, there's a weak hadith which says that whoever prays the Hajjud, then he will get a palace in paradise. These scholars are saying, this is what we're talking about. Let's practice upon this. We'll allow practice upon this. Because this is not initiating any new action, but rather, this already talks about an extra reward for tahajjud, and tahajjud has already been legislated via authentic ahadith and via the noble Quran. So it's only bringing to us this extra reward. And if the hadith is fine, we got that reward. If the hadith wasn't, then we don't really lose out. At least we made some fantastic tahajjud, alhamdulillah. So it must fall under the umbrella of some other authentic hadith. Number three, they mentioned that one shouldn't do this in public. Why? Because the ordinary layman, the individual who's not really knowledgeable, jahil, he might see you practicing upon this weak hadith. He might think it's authentic. He practices upon it and it's going to lead to a problem. You know the issues related to it, so practice upon it in private. They also mention condition number four, that when you practice upon it, you must not believe that it's authentic. Rather, you should believe that you're just being on the safe side. Those were the four conditions laid down by some of them. Others laid down a fifth condition, that if you narrate it, you must narrate it with the wording that it has been said, it has been narrated, it's been reported. You don't say the Prophet ﷺ said. So these five conditions, subhanAllah, but in reality, the first group, those who said we don't accept it at all, they counted. They said, you're saying that it should not be very weak. Only great ulama are able to distinguish between weak and very weak. How's the ordinary layman Salman Ahmed Ilyas going to know about all of this here? They also mention if it falls under, it must fall under the umbrella of some other authentic hadith. They said, then what's the point? If I'm going to do it, I'm practicing upon the authentic, then I'm not necessarily practicing upon the weak. So what you're saying is a moot point. They also mention that you must believe that this is not really authentic, but you're just practicing upon it to be on the safe side. They said, then what's the point practicing, subhanAllah? I'm practicing because I want that reward. Jayid. So these were some of the counter arguments. One example given by the majority of ulama, they said, for example, the hadith which states, من قام ليلتي العيد العيدين محتسبا لله لم يموت قلبه يوم يموت القلوب. Rawahu Ibn Majah. Hadith reported by Ibn Majah that whoever stands the night in prayer or in ibadah, which night? The nights of the two Eids, the nights which come before the day of Eid, then this man's heart will not die the day that hearts will die. So these scholars, they said, you see, this hadith here is encouraging us on the night of Eid to make extra worship. And worship during the night is something already proven by the Sharia. So this hadith here is a weak hadith, but we can practice upon it. And if it's true, at least we'll get the reward. And if it's not, no major issue in the matter. That's their understanding. Another example they gave, for example, that Salatul Tasbih, according to those scholars who state that all the ahadith on Salatul Tasbih are weak, like Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani and others. So they said, you know, one could practice upon this. If it's fine, it's weak, you know, at least you got that reward, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. For more information, brothers and sisters, with regards to this topic, amal, with regards to weak ahadith, practicing upon weak ahadith, and we've mentioned, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we are not telling you it's A, B, or C. No, we are, as per an academic discussion, opinion one, completely disregard weak ahadith. Opinion number two, completely accept weak ahadith with certain conditions. Third opinion, only accept it in fada'il, and that too with conditions. For further research, one can look at Tabyin al-Ajab bima warada fi fadl Rajab of Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, Manhaj al-Naqd of Nuruddin al-Itr, Al-Hadith al-Da'if wa Hukm al-Ihtijaj bihi of Abdul Karim al-Khudair, Qawa'id al-Tahdith by Jamaluddin al-Qasimi, Sahih al-Jami of al-Albani rahimahullah. Take note, brothers and sisters, although Imam al-Nawawi stated consensus, that consensus has not stood the test of time. There have been scholars who differed. And Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, unfortunately, many times when he claims consensus, unfortunately, that claim is not solid, tight in its strength. We find, for example, he had mentioned that nobody has stated that it is wajib to lift up the hands, raf'ul yadain in salah. Subhanallah. But he himself had mentioned that this is an opinion narrated from Dawood al-Zahiri and others. So he claimed ijma, and technically he contradicted himself in that matter. For example, he mentions that Salatul Janaza la tukra fi awqat al-thalatha. Jayid, he said that there is ijma that Salatul Janaza, it's not makruh during the makruh times. But he himself has mentioned difference of opinion with regards to the ulama on that matter. And that's why the scholars state that Imam al-Nawawi is mutasahil when it comes to naql of ijma. When it comes to claiming ijma, he is rather lenient and lax with regards to it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Imam al-Nawawi continues bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, and he states, scholars have compiled 40 ahadith on faith and belief, usul, the matters of aqidah, and on practical matters, furu', matters of fiqh, and on jihad, austerity, on etiquettes, even on sermons. All of these collections were concerning righteous aims. May Allah be pleased with those who sought them. However, I have found it best to collect 40 ahadith which are dealing with something more important than all of this. To collect 40 ahadith dealing with matters which the entire religion revolves around. In fact, each hadith is by itself a great general precept. It's like a pillar on its own from the foundations of the religion. Some scholars state that all of Islam revolves around these ahadith. Some have said about a particular hadith that it's half of Islam or it's a third of Islam. Those ahadith I collected. Those ahadith that scholars said, whoa, this hadith is half of Islam. This hadith here is a third of Islam. This hadith here is quarter of Islam. I collected all of those super, super important ahadith and I put them together here. I have committed myself to including only authentic hadith in these 40 ahadith, the majority of them being from Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. I have mentioned them without their chain of authorities in order to make it easy for people to memorize. Imam al-Nawawi wants us to memorize this, subhanallah. And thus more will be willing to benefit from them, insha'Allah. After the hadith, I've included a section on the meanings with regards to obscure expressions and words found in the hadith. Everybody, anyone who desires and looks forward to the hereafter must be familiar with these ahadith. Subhanallah. Why did you write this book, Imam al-Nawawi? Because he states every Muslim, everyone who desires and looks forward to the hereafter, all of us, must be familiar with these ahadith because they cover the most important aspects of the religion and offer direction to all forms of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is clear to anybody who ponders over these ahadith. I rely only upon Allah and I entrust my affair only to Him. To Him is the praise and grace. From Him is guidance and protection from all error. And on that, Imam al-Nawawi concludes the introduction. What did he mention? What did he talk about? He said some ulama collected 40 ahadith on aqidah, 40 ahadith on furu. This division between usul and furu that you have here, the major matters and the minor matters. Or rather, you have the matters of aqidah and you have the matters of fiqh. In reality, you found that as a demarcation. How do you demarcate between the usul, the major matters, and the minor matters? Many ulama demarcated using the yardstick of belief on one side and ritual on the other side. I repeat, many scholars demarcated. They said these matters are part of belief, aqidah, and these matters are of the ritual, fiqh, salah, etc. Subhanallah. And then what happened? They said, you see, the matters of aqidah, that's the super important matters. As for the ritual matters, lesser importance. But brothers and sisters, this distinction, this differentiation, this demarcation doesn't really stand the test of time. Why? Because of our five pillars of Islam, we will then take four pillars and put in the ritual department, which is of a lesser important department. Are we going to say that salah, which is the first matter to be judged on Yawmul Qiyamah, is in the fiqh matter, fiqh department, and it's of less importance than the aqidah matter? No, subhanallah. It's from the usul of the religion. It's from the high matters, first matter to be judged on Yawmul Qiyamah. It's a pillar of our religion. Zakah, pillar. How are we going to put it in the second category? It requires being in the major matters. So, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, that's just for your info. The distinction between usul and furu, there's a lot of gray area with regards to that matter. What we can say is that in aqidah, in belief, there are major matters of belief and there are minor matters of belief. Belief in the angels, in the books, major matters. Belief with regards to whether the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw Allah with his eyes during the Miraj, some Sahaba said yes, some Sahaba said no. So that matter is a minor matter of belief. There are major matters of belief and minor matters of belief. Like in jurisprudence, major matters of jurisprudence and minor matters of jurisprudence. How to eat with your hands is a minor matter of jurisprudence. Performance of salah is a major matter of jurisprudence. Moving on. Imam An-Nawawi mentions these 40 ahadith. Technically, he's collected 42 ahadith, not 40. You count them up, they come to 42. So why is he calling it the 40 ahadith? Because, subhanAllah, the Arabs, they would round off matters. Something's 39, khalas, it's 40. It's 42, khalas, it's 40. It's 43, we'll round it off to 40, bi-iznillahi ta'ala. So he collected these 42. But before him, there was Ibn Salah, the great scholar, Muhaddith Ibn Salah. He collected 26 ahadith, 26 great ahadith, 26 super important ahadith. Fast forward, Imam An-Nawawi comes, adds 16 more to the 26 and makes it 42. So that's how we got 42. Original 26 of Ibn Salah, added 16 more, comes to 42. Further, you had then Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, he came along, he added 8 more and he rounded it off to 50 and he wrote his famous explanation of those 50. What's the name of the book? We all call it 40 Ahadith of Imam An-Nawawi, but originally Imam An-Nawawi called it Al-Arba'in fi Mabani al-Islam wa Qawa'id al-Ahkam. 40 related to the pillars of Islam and the pillars of Ahkam, the pillars of jurisprudence. And he mentions this in his explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari that he's put together this book. What's the content? The content, as we mentioned, those ahadith which the religion of Islam revolve around. عُمْدَةُ الدِّينِ عِنْدَنَا كَلِمَاتِ أَرْبَعْ مِنْ كَلَامِ خَيْرِ الْبَرِيَّةِ اتَّقِ الشُّبُهَاتِ وَزْهَدْ وَدَعْ مَا لَيْسَ يَعْنِكْ وَعْمَلًا بِنِيَّةِ. As that scholar, he said, like four ahadith, the religion of Islam revolves around them. What are they? Stay away from the doubtful. Be in this dunya like a zahid. Don't ask from people. Leave the matters where you have doubt for those matters which you have no doubt. And the fourth one, practice upon the matter of intention. So the content of this book, and we will discuss from next week, every one of those ahadith, inshallah, they are pillars in their own right. Authenticity. He mentions that most of them are from Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. There are some ahadith which are on the level of Hassan. They're not on that super authentic. They're on the level of Hassan. And there are one or two which in reality fall in the weak category, like hadith number 30 and hadith number 41. brothers and sisters, finally, the works of the ulama on this book, subhanAllah. The works of the ulama on this book. Thousands and thousands of scholars have written explanations of the 40. We are sitting here, mashallah, you are listening, we are discussing. What is this? An explanation of the 40 ahadith. All rewards go on the scales of Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah. You had, for example, the explanation which is attributed to Imam al-Nawawi himself, that he wrote an explanation of this book. Ibn Daqiq al-Eid, Najmuddin al-Tufi, Mas'ud al-Taftazani, Sa'daddin al-Taftazani, the famous Hanafi scholar, Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, in probably the best Arabic explanation of the 40 ahadith, Jami' ulum wal-Hikam, Sirajuddin ibn Mulaqin, Izzuddin ibn Jama'a, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani has takhrij with regards to these ahadith, Ibn Hajar al-Haytami, Ali al-Qari, Muhammad Hayat al-Sindi, Muhammad al-Kitani, Muhammad Salih al-Farfur, Ismail al-Ansari, Muhammad Ashiq Ilahi, Ibn Uthaymin, Mustafa Bugha, Salih al-Sheikh, Ibrahim Yusri, Zarabozo. You also have, for example, Abdul Karim al-Khudair. Brothers and sisters, probably the best explanation. In fact, it is the best explanation in the English language. And that is the explanation of the 40 ahadith of Jamaluddin Zarabozo. Our brother from the States, Jamaluddin Zarabozo, printed by Al-Bashir Publication, subhanAllah, commentary of the 40 ahadith by Jamaluddin Zarabozo. That is probably the best explanation in the English language. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, on that note, bi-iznillahi ta'ala, we come to the end of the introduction of Imam An-Nawawi. Whose introduction? He wrote it himself. And alhamdulillah, we've covered matters. Those 5 weak ahadith that he mentioned, which dealt with the collection of 40 ahadith. Then he discussed the scholars who have put together books of 40 ahadith collection. Then he claimed ijma, consensus with regards to practicing upon weak ahadith in fada'il. We discussed the 3 opinions, completely disallowed, completely allowed, number 2, and number 3, allowed in fada'il with certain conditions. We moved on and we discussed the usul and furu, distinguishing between the major matters, minor matters. 26 ahadith of Ibn Salah, add to that 16 of Imam al-Nawawi, total of 42. Walhamdulillah, the name of the book, why he did he select these ahadith, the authenticity of them. And lastly, we concluded with various explanations of various scholars of these 40 ahadith. And if you want a copy of the best English, then you can Google that, the 40 ahadith, commentary of the 40 ahadith by our brother Jamaluddin Zarabozo. Until we meet again, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, your brother in Islam, hayyakumullah, Bilal Ismail. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.